In the long battle over drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Sarah James of Arctic Village is a veteran. James's decades of advocacy helped turn her Netsai Gwich'in people into an international symbol, caribou people who ardently believe their way of life is threatened by oil development. For our series on key players in the Arctic refuge debate, Elizabeth Harbaugh from Alaska's Energy Desk met James at her home in Arctic Village to learn how she became the voice of the anti-drilling movement.
In her kitchen in Arctic Village, Sarah James is adding dry ingredients to a large silver bowl.
I usually don't make measurement. And what I do is salt. Salt is good because it makes it tender.
James tells me it's a one-of-a-kind recipe.
It's like fry bread, but...
Yeah, this is Navajo fry bread, but it became my own fry bread, my own recipe. So it's my fry bread now.
James says the recipe's origins are in Oregon, where at 13, she started attending Chemawa Indian High School. Like a lot of Alaska Native children at the time, she was sent away to boarding school. But James's roots always remained here in Arctic Village.
Even though I went to Western school, I feel like I learned more from growing up off the land. Yeah, it made more sense.
As she kneads the dough, James recalls her family hunting sheep in the mountains, catching trout in a nearby lake, and living alongside the caribou migration.
I seen caribou stampede before upriver. We could see it. When they hit the water and then they go on the other side, they shake. We could hear them from our tent.
It's the caribou that made James a well-known figure in the Arctic refuge debate. For decades, she has advocated for her Netsai Gwich'in people, who oppose oil drilling in the refuge because it's where the porcupine caribou herd they hunt commonly gives birth. James stresses that for her, the prospect of oil development in the refuge isn't an environmental issue. It's a human rights issue. Asked when she began protesting, James doesn't name a specific event.
It's not when I started. I was born with it.
In 1988, Gwich'in leaders from across Alaska and Canada gathered in Arctic Village and passed a resolution formalizing their opposition to drilling in the refuge. They asked James, then in her 40s, to be one of eight leaders to carry that resolution into the political arena.
And they said, the only way we can win is to do it in a good way, make friends. Why we say no to oil? And educate them in a good way and stay united and no compromise.
James took that philosophy with her on many trips to Washington, D.C., during Congress's repeated attempts to open the refuge's coastal plain to oil development. James spoke before a congressional committee in 1991.
It is just about the survival of the ancient culture that depends.
At a rally on the Capitol lawn in 2005.
Part of the Arctic National Wildlife. That's the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife.
And in front of another congressional committee in 2011.
We were put there by God to take care of that part of the world. That's our responsibility.
There, James rubbed shoulders with Washington politicians who played significant roles on both sides of the debate, from former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens to Bill Clinton. On the wall by her kitchen, there's a photo of James shaking hands with the former president. Clinton, who vetoed a bill allowing drilling in the refuge in 1995, signed the photo, saying, "With thanks for your great work." Gail Small is one of James's good friends. Small is Northern Cheyenne and grew up on a Montana reservation, and she's another longtime advocate on indigenous and environmental issues. Small says she talks with James a lot about shifting between their own cultures and the political culture of Washington, D.C.
For you to understand the complexities of the Western world and be able to move back and forth between those worlds, it's exhausting, it's tiring, and the fact that Sarah's been doing this for like 50 years is a remarkable achievement for anyone.
But even after long, exhausting international flights, Small says she's watched as James comes to life when she delivers a speech. She says James always comes prepared, arriving at meetings with a backpack full of papers, including pre-written resolutions of support for the Gwich'in. And just as her elders directed, James's message is always positive.
Sarah never tries to be someone who's like angry or aggressive. She just kind of talks her story.
James says this is on purpose. Of course, she hears the criticisms often directed at Gwich'in advocates. that they're working at the behest of their environmentalist allies, or that they're overstating the risk to caribou at the expense of economic opportunity for the rest of Alaska. But James refuses to fight with her critics.
I say what I need to say and leave. Not even mention how mean they are or they're wrong or what. I don't answer them. I just say what I have to say and put a good word in there on my own. And we always won.
And they did win until 2017, when Congress passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which opened the coastal plain to oil leasing. In this very long war, it was a big battle lost. But a lot could happen between now and when oil rigs show up in the refuge. Lawsuits and elections could slow things down. So James isn't giving up.
We're proud to be Gwich'in. We're proud to be caribou people. We love our food. We love who we are. So we'll never give up on that. We're never going to surrender.
For today, though, James's priority is fry bread.
Two, I guess, or three.
She's worried about getting enough dough prepped for Arctic Village's annual spring carnival.
That's not enough, even if I mix up 10 pounds. They're crazy for it. They wanted it yesterday.
The next day, James, who is 75 years old, will ride her four-wheeler down to the fire pit where she fries the dough. It's served to everyone alongside hot tea, rice, jello, and, of course, caribou. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
Listen to part three of our series, The Future of the Arctic Refuge, Riches or Ruin. Tomorrow night on Alaska News Nightly, we'll profile ASRC leader Richard Glenn.